probably getting your questions done. I think you have plenty of time to get your question. No problem about moving on. Okay, doing questions 1, 2, 3, 4. Do them, but we're going to start and try to move a little faster tonight. We're still in chapter 1. Let's see. Jeff was waiting for Lisa, so I don't know what happened there, okay? So maybe she's on her way or something, I'm not sure. So just remember that. Jeff came out and opened the room up and made sure it was warm. All right. Let's remember that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. When you think about knowledge, what is wisdom? The common definition of wisdom is applied knowledge, isn't it? Okay? You've got this knowledge, what do you do with it? You apply it in life, everyday, normal circumstances. So, and this fear of the Lord is those first things you need to have before you want to know this knowledge that leads to wisdom. Call it a motivator, okay? The fear of the Lord, okay? Yes, there's a fear of the judgment that God can bring, okay? Because everybody's going to be judged when their lives are over. But also this fear should develop into a caring love, let's say, or caring respect for the God who is a creator. If you think about it sometimes, do you respect people sometimes that have achieved a lot? Do you respect sometimes people who, in the secular world, that seem to have great ability for speech, let's say? Okay? Leadership, sometimes people have leadership. You respect them for that. Okay? So, that's, and there's no fear in there, is there? No harm from them, but there's also, this fear is a respect for them. That's what God really is, the true motivator that we all need to have when we look into God's Word, which is what Proverbs is, and the wisdom we can glean from that. So, the fear of the beginning of knowledge. Now, and the last part of that verse is, fools despise wisdom and instruction. Well, fools despise wisdom and instruction, which is discipline. Well, what does a fool tend to do? They tend to rely on themselves, don't they? So it's natural that they would not desire or despise wisdom, wouldn't they, from someone else, especially a creator. They may do that with everyday people. So there is this natural thing with one who wants to guide their own life totally and independently to despise words from another, wisdom or knowledge from another. And that idea, in coming along with that, the instruction and discipline. Well, does a fool who depends on themselves, do they really want any correction in their lives?
No.
Because to say they need correction is to say that they better not depend on themselves, right? There's something wrong with depending on their own. Okay? All right? So, so that's the best I can do with that verse. I seem that's correctly right there. Fools despise wisdom, and instruction is a discipline. They depend on themselves, therefore they believe they don't need correction. All right? Or exposing the things that they have not been wise about. All right. That's really the intro. And maybe I need to review that real quick. So the first 7 verses, we've seen the reason for studying, that there's something here that's from God, from Solomon, who's inspired of God. And he's telling us in those first 7 verses that this idea of wisdom and instruction and understanding, we can know and discern, we can understand it. In other words, it's possible. We can learn it. And as that happens, we come into wise behavior and we can be just and right and fair with people. That's a goal in life. That's verse 3. And that in 4 and 5, we understand here that this knowledge that leads to wisdom, fairness and righteousness and all this is open to all people. Whether you're naive, whether you're young, whether you're even wise. Okay, even from the knowledge of wise, you can still gain greater understanding in that. And there's no problem with that. It's open to all. Everyone needs it because it's from God, and it's learnable. And the last part is fear of the Lord. Isn't that the beginning of everything? All right? You understand that respect for God, reverence for God, then you'll seek more knowledge, and you'll learn more. And that you don't want to be a fool. The fool is the opposite of that. And all I can do is bring harm to your life, your activities, your character, and everything else involved. Okay? That's really the... And normally that first seven verses is said to be kind of the... If you get that kind of right in your mind, where things are from... Oh, yeah, by the way, I just noticed it. 1 and 7 begins basically with a Solomon, which is a prophet, and then ends with 7, L-O-R-D, isn't it? Okay? So it's bookended by divinity, isn't it? And what is divine? All right. Now, let's see. All right. Real quick, the first 9 chapters, it diverts after you get to chapter 10 on. But first 9 chapters are really is a father to a son conversation. I mentioned last time. That daughters, I guess I'll say, okay, don't need to be left out because there's much, not all the principles apply to women too, don't they? Okay? So there's something to understand there. And this may have been Solomon through Rehoboam, I don't know, okay? But the point is, it's wisdom passed on. Passed on, we'll see that now as we come up, all right? As to any age, I'm going to talk to son, but it's to any age. All right. But a lot of this we'll see that it kind of goes along with, you know, youth too. All right. In that next part, it goes over each of the first 9 chapters, and basically the things dealing with a son or dealing with an offspring. Chapter 1 is really this idea of be careful of violent associations and temptation and evil compliance. These are real quick summaries. Chapter 2 is the understand that wisdom preserves life and adulteress destroys it. And that deals with marriage. You have that in your lessons, right? Okay. Advice passed on. Chapter 3 is you can kind of deal with the idea of good reputation, laws of the land, receive favor from God and neighbor. Get some more of that neighbor thing, which is interesting. All right. Which should be page... Everybody's looking around. Let me.
We don't have that.
What? Yeah, page 4.
Chapter 3.
Well, right there, number 2 on page 4. See, chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, 4. Okay.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Is that what that is?
Yes, ma'am. It's just a quick deal dealing with the idea that, in fact, these deal with a from the father to the son, where it diverts from that a lot. Okay, when you get later on. But these are kind of specific things that I guess Solomon wanted to make plain to his son. All right. Chapter 3 is the idea of favor, good reputation, laws of land. You see that back in your lessons. I kind of picked up some headings from those. Chapter 4 deals with wisdom. How important is it? It's a principal thing. And you need to seek it and get it and strive after it. And that will be a young person will need to do that. And 5, there's some sorrow committed. And then back to adultery again. 5 kind of gets into the idea of weighing consequences. There's a reputation. What you sow is what you reap. Okay, generally. And it gets into that. And chapter 6 is the idea, is the idea a little different from a person, but to get into agreements with money. Are you a surety for someone else? Do you co-sign? And then some other things that God hates. It's lying and foolish agreements, things like that. Then laziness starts also in chapter 6. Along with parents, back to parents and adultery again, and the good that come from them. And then chapter 7 is the idea of be careful of the women again, bad places, and be careful where you go. And then the rest of chapter 8 is the enticement and reward of wisdom, which is kind of a positive note. Wisdom calls everyone, and the idea of wisdom from the Creator. And chapter 9 choose wisdom or reject folly. Kind of the summation of all of this. Choose wisdom or choose folly. That's what's going to happen. Those are choices you give, God gives you that. That's a harlot versus a good woman. So, now we'll start in, I guess, the meat of it would be chapter 1, verse 8. And let me say this real quick. When we're dealing with chapter 1, I kind of put it in three pieces. One is listen to your parents. We'll go over that. The second is don't listen to violent people or people who want you to join with them. Because there's something to be violence here. Like being part of the group or part of the gang. Okay? In this case. So listen to your parents. Don't be part of a violent gang or men. And then the last part here in chapter 1 is actually personifying wisdom. Okay? And the benefits of wisdom and what to look for. Okay? Listen to parents. And it kind of, it's interesting. It starts with parents, and what do they do for you? They're wisdom too, aren't they? They're trying to impart wisdom. And sometimes a conflict. So it's kind of wisdom, and then don't listen to violent people, and then listen to wisdom at the end. So three big parts. Now, I kind of look at my scriptures as I go down, and it kind of helps me with that. And if y'all have your Bibles open, we'll be kind of following through that. Now, and I'll read 8 and 9 first. Hear, my son, your father's instruction. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, they are a graceful wreath to your head and ornaments about your neck. Okay. This first part I started about, you listen to your parents. Talk to the son. Now, you know father and mother, don't you? Do they both have wisdom? Yeah, sure do, don't they?
Okay.
Now, I hope so. Okay. The same thing about... I'll let that go. All right. What's the word here? What's the word forsake mean? What do you think here means, James? And forsake. Are they opposites?
Yes.
Yes. Okay? Yeah. See, it's kind of saying the same thing. Well, it goes structure sometimes. Okay? If you come at something from both directions, it makes it a little clearer, doesn't it? Okay? What does here mean? It means don't forsake. See? Okay? Can I hear my father's instruction? If I said heed my father's instruction, it's a word, there's a little different connotation in it. One is a kind of a call to action in it. Say, okay? And so there's I'll say a command to do that. Indeed, there are graceful wreaths about your head and ornaments about your neck. What's the idea there? Is that good? Is the instruction prayer? It's good, isn't it? He's setting the tone here. That's good. And I guess you remember back in those days when a king or someone of power put a wreath around your head. Was it a minor thing?
No, big deal.
It was a big deal, wasn't it? Okay, it was a place of honor, wasn't it? Okay? And that's what wisdom is from wise parents. I'll qualify a little bit. Okay? Wise parents. All right?
Or maybe something that... especially the graceful ornament or the chains about your neck, something that you would always have with you.
Okay.
Okay. You know, just kind of...
kind of like a trophy, I guess you're saying. You've got a trophy in the or a ribbon in school. You're always going to have it, aren't you? Is that what you're kind of saying, Susan? Yeah. Okay.
Well, it's adorning you with what is... good, mm-hmm. and what will bring prosperity, you know. And I'm not talking about money,
yeah.
but it's favor.
Yeah,
you know, it's the adornment of favor.
Well, think of the world. In the secular world, you want prizes and wreaths and honor and recognition, don't you? And here's something that from your parents. See, hear and don't forsake the instruction and the teaching. The instruction and the teaching is, isn't it? If you heed it, see, live by it. It is a wreath. And ornament and a prize, isn't it? Okay? Something valued is the point.
In chapter 3 there it says, do not let kindness and truth lead you, but bind them around your neck and write them on the tab of your heart so you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God. and about three other places, he talks about it being an adornment, you know, and something around the neck or a crown on the head and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So it's imagery for that.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It may want you to seek it, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. So this is not something, it's minor, I'll get to it when I can. That's how the appearance, instruction, teaching. All right. Now, so he goes straight into something. Well, these aren't that pleasant, these next few verses. My son, if sinners entice you, three words in the New American Standard, do not consent. Consent if it's okay. Consent if I say. No, do not consent. Enticing is what?
Persuade,
okay. Give you some incentive, whatever it is, okay. Convince, see the idea, okay. Notice in here too, throughout these next few verses, they're not doing this by brute force, kind of getting the consent. Again, you come along, they're doing it with words of persuasion, aren't they? All right. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, see the us? Let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush innocent without cause. Well, what are they involved in? Pretty rough stuff, right? Okay. Rough. Ambush the innocent. They don't care. So this is a rough gang. I'll call it a gang. All right. Street gang, if you want to call it, or whatever. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, every hole as those who go down to the pit. Now, these people are so bad, you know, that this evil they do, this innocent people, they want to just swallow them completely. Really no care, are they? They don't care if they're innocent, they don't care. That's the kind of people that are saying, come with us. Now, 13, we will find all kinds of precious wealth, we will fill our houses with spoil. Is that the promise? That's the promise that he's verbally given to them. You'll have riches. See the idea? Come with us. It's an enticement, isn't it? All right. Throw in your lot with us. We shall all have one purse. One purse, maybe the idea of unity. The idea we're all the same. Now, throw in your lot with us. I was listening to a criminal show the other day, and they were just asking each other, you know, why do people join gangs? I would say, you know, urban gangs. Why do you join gangs?
Family.
There's a family problem. And
no,
usually,
I mean, they feel like they're a family.
Oh, okay, that's what
they
I was getting
belong.
At. It's the idea of security and identity. There's security in knowing someone's got your back, I guess you'd say. Okay? Someone's with you. Unity in the cause. What's identity?
Who you are.
They say who you are. You're part of us. Get the tattoo, right? Say, be part of us. Hoorah. You understand what I'm saying now? All right? I'm not saying that's bad. You understand when I say hoorah. Okay? Or hoorah. How do you say it?
Hoorah.
Hoorah. Okay. So, it's the idea of being part of us, an identity and security. Do we all want to have some identity and security? We do, don't we? We're a member of a congregation here. If there's sickness and illness and need, Scripture say that we need to help each other. Do we need to recognize each other? Not to be lonely and separate? Yes. Okay? Yes. All right? So we do have secure an identity, don't we, in the congregation? All right? But there's also, on the opposite side of this, in violent gangs, okay? And people want to do violence. Have the same idea. Now, 15. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your feet from their path. That's pretty plain, isn't it? Okay? For their feet run to evil, and they hasten to shed blood. And these are violent men. Violent people. And the parents are saying, don't run with them. 17. Indeed, it is useless to spread the baited net in the sight of any bird, but they lie in wait for their own blood, they ambush their own lives. What in the world is being said there? That's kind of the kind of the first little kind of proverb, all right?
Mm-hmm. Because the end of them is actually their own death and their own destruction, whether it's physical death or not, that they bring about their own, they bring down themselves.
Yes. And you know what? Even like a bird going down to a net, there's the food laying on top of the net, they go down and get it.
They don't have a clue.
Okay? Yeah. All right? And the way of the violent gain is a trap itself. That's just the way I am. That's just, I want to be, I'm a violent person. You know, I like where I'm at. Well, the end is going to be what? See, they're really ambushing themselves, aren't they? You did it to yourself. Okay? So 19. So are the ways, conclusion, so are the ways that everyone gains by violence. It takes away the life of its possessors. Like physically too. See? But also, is God pleased with violence and hurting the innocent? No. Okay? And there's a wisdom here from the Father to the Son. Don't do this. Do not consent to them. They tried to persuade this. Know what they do completely as a gang or a group. All right? And because your end is not good. Let's see. Anything else? I guess two words on this is avoid and listen. Avoid these people and listen to the parent, okay? And think of that. Let's see.
Yeah, keep your feet from their path. You know, it's like further on when you get to the part about the young man going by the strange woman's house.
Yes.
Keep your foot off the street. Don't even go down her street, you know. And so what are you doing hanging around with these guys unless listening to them?
Yeah, why do you put yourself in a position like that?
Right.
Okay?
Keep your feet from the path. Don't even get close to associate. Don't associate even with them.
Do you always know with people? You know, I just say these people, these. Do you always know who they are when you first meet them? May or may not, right? Of course, they say we go out and ambush innocent people, we steal, we hurt people.
They probably have a reputation.
Okay, okay, yeah. So, it just be careful sometimes. Some investigation is good, isn't it? Okay?
They're probably looking for the naive. They're looking for the person that needs what they have.
That's right. Exactly. That's right. There's always a need, psychologically or something. There's some yearning out there. You know, you see sometimes I changed churches. I was Roman Catholic and I changed to a Pentecostal church or I changed to this or that. Why'd you do that? I just wasn't at home there. It wasn't friendly. Who knows? You come up with another reason, okay? You know what I'm saying? I just didn't feel right. I feel wanted here. Well, yeah. Okay, I can understand that, but where are you? From the way you beginning, the way you ended. See, what should have been the major investigation is what I'm saying. I'm getting at an investigation of what you're changing to or from. Okay, it's worth the time. Let's see. And the other thing, I think that's good. They're dealing with that. So we've got the idea of listen to the parents. The parents gave advice about violence, especially for a guy, I guess. Okay, because do guys like to prove themselves? Yeah, they do, don't they? I got these muscles, I might as well do something with them, right?
Yeah.
All right? I don't know if this applies to girls and women here. I guess these days it might, okay? It might. I think it always has, one way or another. All right? Now, last part, beginning verse 20 through 33. This is a transition now. That where wisdom really comes in, and in verse 20 and 21, wisdom shouts in the street. She lifts her voice in the square. The first call. She's made a call. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the gates in the city, she utters her sayings. Okay, 20 and 21. Where is she not calling? Where is wisdom not calling? The answer is nowhere. That's the point, isn't it? She shouts in the streets, lifts her voice. Is it a wee voice somewhere? No. Wisdom is plain. wisdom is not a hidden kind of thing. You'll see it in the streets, in the squares, at the gates of the cities. It's public, isn't it? All right? Now, I'm not saying you go down here to the mall and set up a table. What I'm saying is, wisdom is something for everyone. Wisdom is something, I guess if something speaks loud enough and often enough, it could be understood. So it's not hidden, is what I get out of that. She clamors here with a loud noise. Now here's wisdom, shall we see in chapter 2, where it's kind of the reverse. It's to the guy who, the one who's wise, clamors for wisdom. All right, that's what I see out of those first two. Entrance through the gate was a big funneling point. A noisy street, she cries out. See, even with the rush of the world, you can still go through that and wisdom can be there. All right. 22, how long, O naive ones, will you love being simple-minded? And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. Well, there's three groups of people, isn't it? Okay? Just kind of a how long with you, simple ones. Will you like to be simple? How long will you scoffers, you ridiculers? How long will you delight in ridicule and debasing other people? Mocking other people. And fools, how long are you going to hate knowledge? Because why? They think they have the knowledge, don't they? All right? So three groups of people. How long will you do this? Meaning that they can change. 23. Turn. Turn to my reproof. What's the turn? Repent, isn't it? Okay? You can turn. Turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. 23. I see these as kind of parallel. Turn to my reproof. Pour out my spirit. Make my words known. Some of that pour out my spirit has an interesting tone, doesn't it? All right? But I think that's the words of reproof and the words known to you. All right? All those inspired words. And I get that, too, if you go back in 21, right at the end of it. At the entrance of the gates, and it says she utters her sayings. Okay? So we're still communicating with words, aren't we? All right?
It's how God reproves, you know, he said, turn to my reproof. Mm-hmm. How are you going to know? It's the sayings, like you just said, you know, the spirit on you, you know, people are, oh boy, you know, I'm gonna get this better felt than told experience. You know, it's not. It's my words.
That's right.
It's through that.
That's right. That's
that they're right. Going to get reproof.
Which is the purpose of writing Proverbs, isn't it? My son, listen to these. Listen to the instruction, knowledge, and wisdom. Listen to that, okay? 24. This is the second call, but this is rejected. Because I called and you refused. That mean you have a choice? Doesn't it? Because I called and you refused. I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention. Saying the same thing, isn't it? I stretched out my hand. I called to you. You refused and no one paid attention. Same idea. Okay? You can choose. Is it because God didn't offer it? No. Did wisdom offer? Yes. Okay? You didn't pay attention. And because you did that, 25, and you neglected all my counsel and did not want my reproof. Saying the same thing again. Neglected. Did not want. Not paid attention. Refused. All words of choice. All right? 26. I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your dread comes. Judgment. Judgment's going to come because of your actions for not choosing. When your dread comes like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind. What's that? What's a storm and a whirlwind? What does a hurricane do when it comes through the area?
Destroys,
ruins things, doesn't it? Okay? Do they come up quickly? Not a hurricane with a warning, but a storm and a whirlwind come quickly. All right? Don't be surprised if it comes up on you quickly. Your calamity and your dread.
Distress and anguish.
Sure.
You know, it can just be anguish of heart.
That's right.
And these people, you know, we tend to think, oh, these are horrible people, these fools, you know. But we can neglect as well as we can become the fool, even though we think we're wise, and even though we might love God's word, if we just don't pay attention to the warning signs, or we don't use the wisdom that we already have, then we become in this boat.
Yes.
And
what's one big warning sign so far? In the middle of this chapter, what's a big warning sign for a man, young guy? Don't get involved with gangs, right? I mean, that's a pure, simple way to look at it, okay? And violence. What does violence lead to? Say, especially inflicted on innocent people.
But, you know, we don't hate knowledge, and, you know, we don't refuse to listen to God, but we can neglect it.
Yeah.
And, you know, we can not want to hear what sometimes Steve preaches in the pulpit, or what the elders might, you know, come and talk to us about, or something like that. We may not want to listen to that, or respond to it rightfully.
Yes.
And so we become this fool.
Or even a younger woman, an older woman talking to a younger woman.
Yeah.
So.
And our children rolling their eyes. We've all been there, you know. We have good children, but they all, you know, oh, no, not again. You know, or they roll their eyes, and yeah, and she's on that kick again, you know.
Yes, sir.
I had a man that was adamant about it. I used to work with. There was people talked to him. I did about, you know, becoming a member of the church or even going to church. He said, "Well, he's waiting till the last minute." He said, "It's a deathbed confession in the Bible, and I'm going to do that. Call on the Lord my last breath." And I said, "You might not have a chance." I said, "Where is it at?" He said, "I don't know." He said, "You're going to know." And I said, "Well, I'll go get my Bible." And I went to my toolbox and got a little old military Bible out. I come back and let him read it out loud to about 20 people. And I said, "Now, there's your deathbed confession. What do you think now?" And he said, "I got out in second thought." And when you call upon him in your last breath, it's,
yes,
"I will not answer." And I said, "There's your deathbed confession."
It is, isn't it?
He said, "You sure there's not another one?" I said, "You look real hard and bring it to me if you find it." So he didn't go that route anymore, especially with me.
Well, you imparted some wisdom to him. That's right. The brevity of life and the unpredictability of it. And that's a good comment. And that's why in 28 he's got to the point, "Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me." That sounds pretty hard-hearted, doesn't it?
What do you think that means?
Don't mock me. You mock me. And we also deal with the principle, I think Galatians 6, what you sow is what you're going to reap. And this idea that God's going to do what he can do. I call to you, I beckon to you, I stretch out my hand to you, and what did you do? You neglected me, you laughed at me. All right, and the consequences for your personal choice.
So it's how God responds to the scoffer versus a penitent heart, because, you know, Jonah was in the belly of the whale, you know, and he had a penitent heart, and he called out in the depths, and God answered.
Yes.
Even though he had run away from God, not listened, you know, not paid attention to God. So it's not, because God wants all men to repent. He's done all the stuff for them to do. So it's the difference between God allowing people to suffer the consequences, evidently, if they are scoffing and not have a penitent heart.
Yes.
But if they have a penitent heart, he will.
Because he clarifies here in 20, "Then they will call on me." They who? These ones who have rejected him. Yeah, I'm saying him, I'm saying her.
But evidently they don't have a true penitent heart,
no,
or he would listen.
That's right. Exactly right.
So we can't say that God's just going to let them go, you know, and no matter what, they're not going to be saved.
Well, let's look at 29. Mm-hmm. Because, why would you not find me? Why would you not end? Because they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. They didn't want the knowledge of the Lord. L-O-R-D there. They didn't want any motivation to act. They didn't know. They didn't want what God has supplied amply, perfectly. What can I say? No repentance, is there? Okay? And you're going to suffer the consequences for that. judgment. 30, they would not accept my counsel. They spurned all my reproof. That's these people. Is that hard? Yes, hard. 31, so they shall eat of the fruit of their own way, the bitter fruit of their own way, and be satiated with their own devices. Own devices. These people act this way. These people don't go for the knowledge, reject wisdom and knowledge, scoff at it. They're going to eat their own fruit that they produce. They're going to be in their own devices. Interesting, isn't it? Okay? Natural consequence. 32. For the waywardness or stubbornness of these naive will kill them. And complacency or the contentment of fools will destroy them. Call it inaction. 33. But he who the positive side is, but he who listens to me shall live securely and will be at ease from the dread of evil. But he who listens to me shall live securely. What's that? Live securely. Sure. Is there some contentment in being secure?
You will not be afraid, and when you lie down, your sleep will be sweet, and you will not be afraid of sudden fear. That's in chapter 3. Mm-hmm. It explains it because it says it over again.
Yes, it does.
Psalm is awfully good about going through
and
saying
the
same thing over again. You know, but he explains himself. You know, it's from the dread of evil. We don't have to be afraid. We're going to have evil days, but we don't have to be afraid. Or it's like the woman in chapter 31. She has prepared herself, and she's put on the clothing, strength and dignity, and the fear of the Lord. And so when hard times come for her family, she's unafraid.
Yeah.
They can meet them. And so it's the same thing here. You know,
Be at ease from the dread of evil.
It's not that bad people aren't going to maybe do bad things to us.
That's right.
You know, that's not
right.
It is.
Yeah. It's a peace of mind, okay, that I follow the Creator. Sustainer. I'll live the best I can in this life. All right. Let's see. I think that's... Okay. Now, lesson one. The questions. This is real good about giving the scripture references too, if references is spelled right there. Okay. Like it is, to know and attain. I put that verse 2, wisdom instruction, to perceive, discern, understand. I had that also in number 2, words of understanding. To receive is verse 3, an instruction of wise behavior. And what does the wise behavior consist of? RJF, right actions. J, being just with other people, and F, being fair with them. Okay? Fair but firm, you've heard that, okay? All right? Being fair with them. And to give. And this Proverbs give what? They give prudence to the simple, youth, and the wise. What's prudence? It's a word we use every day, right?
To me, it's not just right thinking and right action, which is wisdom, but it's at the right time. If you do the right thing with the, you know, the right action at the right time.
Yes, I'm going to deal with that. It's caution in your conduct. In other words, this idea of thinking about what you're going to do before you do it. See,
well,
that's what you're saying.
The right time.
Uh-huh, that's
it
right.
It could be a good thing. It could be the right mm-hmm. thing, but it might not be the right
yeah.
time.
Yeah, he's prudent in their actions. They contemplate, think about what they're going to do at the right time, okay? How far do I scold, or how far do I praise, or how far do I go with this, and should I overreact or underreact, okay? And the idea of prudence in that. Now, number 2, what are the 2 different attitudes between the wise and the fool? I had verse 5 and verse 7. The wise does what? What kind of attitude they got?
Willingness to learn.
Okay. All right. And what about the... the wise going to increase their learning, aren't they? They're going to increase, okay, by hearing. And the fool, what do they do? What are they? What's their attitude towards wisdom?
Despise it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. They're going to view it as worthless to them, right? So what do they need to purchase it for? What is it really worth to them? They have their own wisdom, don't they?
Okay.
Yes, yes.
Pride.
That's right. And verse, question three, in what verses does my son appear, and what is the main point of each of these sayings? Verse 8, what's the main point? Why is son in there?
Listen to my instruction.
That's right. Son there, his duty is to listen then to his parents. Okay? What about verse 10? What's the son supposed to do there?
Not consent. To analyze them.
That's right. That's right. Don't listen to those sinners. Okay? Don't listen to those people. So listen to your parents, don't listen to sinners, and what about verse 15?
Don't
do what they do. Okay? So we're kind of listening in verse 8, which produces a don't do or listen to your parents. 10 is out of don't listen to sinners, because they're going to cause you to do some actions that are wrong. And 15, do not walk with them. Now here's the action point in it. Don't walk with him. If you don't consent, you shouldn't walk with him. All right? Okay, four next time. So, you notice how we kind of move through that. So we'll move chapter 2, 3, and 4 for next time. Be sure to get your questions. Thank you very much.